Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder if you remember this old adage from many years ago. Be sure your sins will find you out. Does just the sound of those words bring back memories from your childhood and some shenanigans that you were caught in? Did you know that old adage has biblical roots, both in the Old and New Testaments? Numbers chapter 32 and Hebrews chapter 4. Have you discovered it to be true in your life journey? Was it painful when your cover-up broke down and your sin was found out? Yesterday I left you reflecting on the power of deceitfulness and how easily one lie can erode a reputation, destroy a relationship, even cancel out years of good, hard, honest work. We were in the city of Samaria in the northern kingdom of Israel about the year 840 BC. Gehazi was hiding in his home or the home of a friend, some clothes and money given to him generously from Naaman, the Aramean army commander, healed from his leprosy after his visit with Elisha. You'll remember Naaman dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as Elisha had told him, and his skin was cleansed by the God of Israel. Gehazi was confident Elisha would never know that Gehazi had run after Naaman to ask for a gift, and Naaman would never find out that his generous gifts, though intended for Elisha to help 2 young travelers, as Gehazi had said, were actually stolen by Gehazi's greed. For Mr. Gehazi, his lie was fresh, perhaps only a few hours old, when he arrived back at Elisha's house and resumed his duties for that day. I wonder how long Elisha waited before he asked Gehazi a penetrating question that must have sucked the air right out of Gehazi's lungs. Where have you been, Gehazi? We've all been in that painful spot, haven't we? The question is simple, but the only way to not have your sin found out is to lie again. That's called building a cover-up. Gehazi responded, as probably most all of us have at least once in such a moment, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Oh my. Again, we've probably all been in this very same spot. Remember the guilt and shame you felt? Elisha was a prophet of God, and the Holy Spirit of God often gave Elisha direct insight from God, and it happened right here. Elisha's response pierced Gehazi's lying heart like a sword. "Was not my spirit with you when Naaman got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards, flocks and herds?" 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 26. Elisha was making the same obvious point your parents and mine made when we were kids caught in this mess. A little lie or a big lie, it's all the same God-mocking sin that will eat you alive and destroy your life, your reputation, and your family. Why? Because once a person becomes comfortable with anything less than total truth, deceit grows to consume them, and eventually, they actually have no conscience. They cannot tell if they're telling a lie or the truth, because the stronghold of the dark kingdom has become so powerful they are deluded. Almost always, one lie requires another, or several more, to build a cover-up. It's a terrible way to live, isn't it? Do you know anyone constantly alert, listening to every conversation, seeking to discern if anyone suspects the lies they are living, and always careful to keep telling more lies to cover up the hiding past lies? Perhaps Elisha paused, giving Gehazi time to repent. Perhaps not. Elisha declared God's frightening consequences on Gehazi's lies. Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27. This, my friends, is a painful example of children living with the consequences of the sins of their parents. Do you know anyone struggling with an alcohol problem, at least in part because they grew up in a heavily drinking home? Do you know anyone ashamed of the fact they were conceived on a first date and have never known who their father is? Perhaps you're thinking God's punishment was far beyond reasonable. After all, it was only some clothes and a little money. No, my friends, the lies of Gehazi, like all lies, was the evidence of what consumed his heart: greed, deceit, manipulation, selfishness, and so much more. Because leprosy was a death sentence in those days, and lepers were forced to live in seclusion or with other lepers, far away from healthy people, I presume Gehazi packed his bags and left Elisha's home and employ that very day. Elisha, even as a miracle-working prophet of God, could not have a leprous assistant at his side or living in his home. Can you imagine Gehazi walking out of Elisha's home with a bag of his belongings slung over his shoulder, too ashamed to even look Elisha in the eye? Perhaps Gehazi went to the place where he'd hidden the gifts from Naaman. But now, what good are 2 talents of silver and 2 sets of clothes to a leper outcast from society? I find no record of Gehazi repenting of his lies or being healed of his leprosy. If you've ever known anyone who has significant leprosy, it's a terrible way to live and die. But even more painful for Gehazi was the shame and emotional pain of living with the reality of all that he had lost. He had been at Elisha's side for some of the greatest miracles of God, and now he was a recluse from society in the shame of leprosy. Oh, friends, let's not delude ourselves into believing we can live without any consequences to our lies, our secret sins. Once again, I urge us to take some time for honest reflection, and please understand, the throne room of God is open to you, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and chapter 10. And let's break the hold of any lies that might be keeping us in bondage by confessing them to God and asking Him to forgive them and break their hold on us and cleanse us from them. And here's a worship song, and I'll meet you right here again tomorrow, my friends.